Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenn?
Yeah, oh, you said, yeah, I thought you were coming out. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and it's Breeders' Cup Day.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning, maybe. Maybe you've already hung up. On Horse Radio Network for Halloween, October 31st, 2012, episode 521, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
The hottest ticket for this weekend is to the Breeders' Cup race at Santa Anita.
A big horse race this weekend. Perhaps you heard about it.
$25.5 million here at stake on Friday and Saturday.
This is the Super Bowl of horse racing. Two huge days of racing and fame, Churchill Downs and Louisville, Kentucky.
Every horse that's in here is in here for a reason. They're all very talented. Any given day, they could all jump up and run this super race.
When they're in the starting gate, it's like they're at the line of scrimmage. That gate opens, and then all heck breaks loose.
Well, happy pre-Breeders' Cup day to everybody out there. I wanted to jump in here real quick, Glenn, before we get into the show and just give everybody a little bit of a behind the scenes. And what happens in the 30 seconds before the show starts. Because I say something about, they asked me if I packed for Galway, and I said, you know, my friend didn't get here until like 8:30, so everything's kind of in a pile. It's not in the trailer yet. I said I was just exhausted because I had to go to bed at like 9 o'clock because I taught two little girls that are both two at the same time, both 6 years old, riding lessons yesterday. And that is exhausting, right? But then now one of them doesn't even speak English. She doesn't speak Spanish. She speaks French. Her dad is an exchange pilot. I said, but she's not French. She's from Belgium. And you know what Glenn says? Well, at least they have good waffles. Like, what is wrong with you?
They do. They have great waffles.
And then the show, we really need to start taping the pre-show meeting. We can sell this stuff. What is wrong with you? Oh, that's when the Southern girls go, oh, bless your heart. That's real sweet.
Before we get into the Breeders' Cup talk, which is what we're going to do the rest of the day, we want to, just say a word to all of our friends and listeners and everybody who was affected by Sandy. It was a terrible storm. I was looking at some of the pictures this morning, and if you've ever walked on the Atlantic City boardwalk, well, it's not there anymore. and there's just town after town that have been devastated. Of course, New York City, and you know, a lot of our listeners were affected as well. I will tell everybody I had some listeners inquiring about Helena up there in Rhode Island. She lives right on the coast. She's fine. They lost power for a couple days. They got their power back on last night, I believe. She still doesn't have internet or anything, but she is fine. There was just some trees down. No, all the horses are good and the family's good, so she didn't have any flooding that far. She's about a mile inland from the ocean. The Red Cross has had 250 emergency shelters open. They've had 11,000 people in shelters in the Northeast and served more than 25,000 meals. There's 1,700 volunteers right now working in shelters across 16 states. So if you can at all afford to donate another $10, just go to redcross.org. They have their dial-in number where you can dial in, text in for a $10 donation, or you can do it right there on their website. I got an email from them last night saying that everything's running pretty smoothly for them at this point. It's getting into some of the places that's a problem. There's actually some shelters that people are in that are now not accessible because roads have been washed out and things like that, but it appears that everybody is fine that is in the shelters at this point. So our best to everybody, and we're thinking about you and praying for you up there in the Northeast. Jennifer, tell us about today.
On today's party all the way through the weekend, Wednesday edition, we've got Breeders' Cup Astounding Statistics, Breeders' Cup Opinions from Unqualified Amateurs, Breeders' Cup Classic Contender Mucho Macho Man's Owners, Patty and Dean Reeves, yay! And Breeders' Cup Pundits in the form of Frankie Lovato and Richard the Mig Migliori, compliments of HRTV. So tuck your earbuds in real tight because the party is about to break from the gate.
The Unqualified Amateurs, for everybody's sake, would be me, just letting you know. Well, my Daily Whinny is a Breeders' Cup Daily Whinny, and it goes out to jockey Mike Smith. You know, he is sitting in a pretty good situation this weekend at the Breeders' Cup. He is riding in 8 races. That's correct. He is riding in 8 races, and why that is so significant is he is now tied with 15 wins in Breeders' Cup races with retired jockey Jerry Bailey. So if he wins one of these 8 races, he then becomes the winningest jockey in Breeders' Cup history. So we wish him the best of luck. He's riding on some good horses, too. I think there's a good shot that he's going to win one of these 8 races. Don't you think, Jamie?
You know, Glenn, I kind of am thinking that how dare you give Mike Smith the Daily Whinny going into Breeders' Cup weekend when I am still clearly upset at him for his Breeders' Cup ride 2 years ago.
He lost one race.
How dare you say that is just any race, okay? If he would have just pushed her a little bit earlier, she would have been 20 for 20 and won 3 Breeders' Cup races and been tied for the most Breeders' Cup wins. I'm so mad at him. I can't believe it. How dare you? How dare you? Mike, that's fine. You know, you're a great rider. You just had a bad day. But I can't let it go. And someday he'll be on the show, and I'll be nice, and I'll be polite, and I won't say, why did you do that, you idiot? God!
you can, you know, you can be two-faced with the best of them. You're pretty good at that.
My blood is boiling right now. God.
I'm going to try. We have to get him on the show just so I can hear how you handle that. That'd be great.
I can't. You can't. See, the thing is, you have to learn not to offend a guest. I mean, they're spending their time to come on your show. This is what I've had to explain to you before. You can't get mad at your guests. They're here to talk about what they need to talk about. But, oh, my God, I'm still mad at him. And how dare you, on Breeders' Cup weekend, nonetheless, give him your Daily Whinny. I'm mad at you now. My anger is transferred.
I'm getting mad at guests. You'll notice that I don't have Animal Kingdom doing too well today. That's an inside joke for the regular listeners. All right, here's the Daily Whinny.
My Daily Whinny goes out to a classy, beautiful woman, and her name is Black Caviar. And Black Caviar, I will have you know, is changing the face of the world in Australia, and I'll tell you why. Black Caviar just hit newsstands in Australia. And guess what she is? She's the cover model for Vogue's December issue. She is on the freaking cover of Vogue. For the first time in Vogue Australia's 53-year history, this is the first time that a horse has starred on the magazine cover. Of course, we all know, you know, a little backstory. She is 22-0. You know what? Zenyatta would be 22-0 if it weren't for Mike Smith on a crappy last race. Anyway, let me carry on. So they've got a story in the magazine about Peter Moody, the trainer, obviously. The thing is, Derby Day of the Melbourne Cup is in November. It's actually this weekend. And the people that live in Australia have demanded that Vogue release the issue this month so they can get a copy of it before the Derby Day in Melbourne. So that just goes to show you how awesome this mare is and how much their country loves her. So congrats, Daily Winnie, to Black Caviar, phenomenal sprinter, undefeated champion, and supermodel.
Well, I want to also thank, I think Lisa Glasgow posted that on our Facebook page the other day, too. So I want to thank her for doing that.
She scooped me?
Yeah, she posted it yesterday on our Facebook page. But so that's where I thought you got it from. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry.
That's okay. I'll repost it just so I can be one of us to post it so it can be on main page. I'll put that in there now.
You know what I didn't realize, I guess I just never thought about it, is that like a magazine like Vogue's all around the world, I didn't realize they did separate editions for every country.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they're going to have to do, there's different fashion in every country. There's different languages.
I just never thought about it, you know?
Well, you learn something new every day, don't you?
Thank you, Jamie. You are a wealth of information. I appreciate it. Hey, one thing about schedule here, and then we're going to get into a little bit about the history of the Breeders' Cup and some statistics. We are here today. Jamie is leaving right after the show. As soon as she gets packed, she's heading to Galway Downs. She has a little horse show to do this weekend and a Halloween party to go to tonight.
I am one of the cool kids that got invited to Tammy Smith's Halloween party. And I would like you to know that, you know, when I wore the costume the other day and you guys made fun of me for my guns?
Yes.
I had
a cowgirl and she had little tiny cap guns with orange tips.
Well, I would like to point out that I had actually borrowed those guns from somebody. So I had to go out because it's a costume party tonight and get my own guns. And they're even smaller. And they have orange tips, but they're about 3 inches long, and I'm so excited because they don't even really come out of my hand. I mean, you have to like open my palm for you to see these tiny little guns. They're going to be awesome. I'm so excited.
Well, that's better. I thought you were going to say you were borrowing Chad's there for a minute. I was going to say, oh, that's probably a bad idea.
No.
All right, so that's what's happening today. She's leaving, and we'll have a recorded show for you tomorrow. And then Jennifer and I will be live from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at Wright Lead Equestrian Center on Friday morning. We'll be talking about where they have arranged a bunch of guests talking about the horses of Louisiana down there in Bayou Country. So we're going to be over there in Louisiana. We're traveling tomorrow, and then we're spending the weekend. We're going to be heading off to New Orleans and doing all kinds of fun things this weekend. So that's what's going on for the rest of the week. Well, Jamie, you know, I mentioned this earlier, so I won't mention it again, but Mike Smith's tied, and he's probably going to beat Jerry Bailey. So that's one of the things.
Whatever. Well, let's give you guys a little bit of history about the Breeders' Cup. And I just to kind of give everybody, because this event is a really big deal in horse racing, and it's a really big deal kind of for the lifelong career of these horses, because they are then forever a Breeders' Cup winner. The event was created as a year-end championship in 1982 by John Gaines, who owns Gainesway Farm, because he wanted to clean up the sport's image. And before, it's now 2 days long, they've got kind of the female day and then the male day. Well, in 2008, the Breeders' Cup became the richest, with down like $20 million given away in purses. Now it's up to almost $25 million. So this is a ginormous money day for all these horses, and you have to be the best of the best. I mean, it's like the Super Bowl of horse racing. So the jockeys, like you just said, with the most wins, they're tied. Jerry Bailey and Mike Smith. Mike Smith could have 16 and Jerry Bailey have 15. If he had just won with Zenyatta, that would have taken him one further up. And we wouldn't even be having this discussion right now because he'd already be in the lead.
Well, it's not even close with the trainer. You know, Dwayne Lucas is sitting there with 18 wins, and the next one down the line is 9. So, you know, in the trainer category, Lucas has just dominated the Breeders' Cup in recent years.
Yeah, and then the Breeders' Cup earnings for an owner of a horse, is Alan Paulson. Now, Alan Paulson has earned over 8 $1,730,000 from Breeders' Cup races. And do you know which horse probably won every single one of those dollars?
No.
A small minor horse named Cigar. So I think probably he had maybe three or four really spectacular, Aziri and Arazi and Cigar. Those are like his main horses. But of the $8.7 million, I'm pretty sure all that was Cigar.
Well, and I'm going to have a little in a few minutes here. I have put together some of the most exciting races over recent years, and you're going to hear a little bit about Cigar's win coming up. And then the breeders, as far as the horses are concerned, you'll be happy to know, even though Mike Smith blew it and did not win in that second race with Zenyatta, where Blaine came in, Zenyatta is still the leading horse as far as Breeders' Cup earnings with $4.6 million. Tizno is actually next with $4.5 million. And if I remember right, I think Tizno actually won, was it three times Tizno won?
No, Tizno's only won two.
Two? Okay, so that, yeah, back in like 2000, 2001, in that era was Tizno. Goldakova was in there over $3 million. Conduit from Ireland was at $3 million too. I don't remember when Conduit, does that name?
Yeah, Conduit is a turf horse, and because I read ahead, won in 2008 and in 2009.
Okay. And then Curlin was in there too, of course. Curlin, that was one of the exciting races too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, the horses that have won the Breeders' Cup races twice, Tiznow in 2000-2001, like you said, the filly and mare turf was Ouija Board, 2004 and 2006. The Ladies Classic was won by Bayakoa in 89 and 90, so we're going back a little bit. And then the mile was Miesk, Lure, Dahas, and Goldakova most recently. Now, Goldakova has won the race three separate times in 2008, 2009, and 2010. I would like to point out that the horse that should actually be in that same category would have won three Breeders' Cup races, and that would have been Zenyatta had she won the last Classic. Thank you very much. the sprint was won by Midnight Luke twice, and then Turf, High Chaparral, and Conduit both won it twice. The only horse, to win two different Breeders' Cup races is Zenyatta. She won the Ladies Classic in 2008 and then the Classic where she beat all the boys in 2009, and she should have won in 2010. Goldakova, the only one to win three. And do you want to talk about Julie Krohn? Because I know you love her.
Well, I wanted to ask you real quick, Goldakova, what do you know what Goldakova's up to now?
Money earnings, you mean? What do you mean?
No, I mean where she's at, what she's doing. Breeding
she's probably
somewhere
in Ireland making babies.
Yeah, I would think. You know, I haven't heard much about her, you know. And she was so big. Yeah, the first female jockey to compete in the Breeders' Cup was Julie Krohn. She actually did it in 1988. She did the Juvenile Filly and the Classic, finishing second, sixth, and fourth in those races. She also became the first woman to ride all the way into the winner's circle when she guided Half Bridled to a historic victory in the 2003 Juvenile Fillies Breeders' Cup race. So she was not only the first jockey to ride in any Breeders' Cup race, she was also the first jockey then years later to win a Breeders' Cup race, a female jockey.
Now, I just Wikipedia'd Goldakova to see what she's doing, and they pretty much stop any information at 2011. So, interesting. She took the whole year off, so.
Was she breeding, or?
It didn't even say that. It didn't even say whether she was bred to or anything like that. I mean, the funny thing is she doesn't have the most impressive bloodlines. That's why it's amazing is she's so fast, and she's not, you know, a daughter of Seattle Slough kind of thing. So, at any rate. So there's your Breeders' Cup information. Now, I've been dying to hear this, Glenn.
All right, here we go. Here is five races that I put together, just the ends of the races. I call it my Breeders' Cup montage of what I think were some of the most exciting races to come down the pike. So take a listen.
To keep up, AP Indy is finding his best spot. next, and the stage is set with 3 furlongs to run in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Flushing John taking the lead, 3/8 of a mile out. It's Flushing John in front. Sunday Silence on the outside, gearing up now. He's left Easy Goer 2.5 lengths behind. They're coming to the top of the stretch, and Flushing John is under a hand rod. He leads by a length and a half. Sunday Silence, a threatening presence on the outside. Easy Goer is set down, and he's put to a fierce drive. Coming to the final furlong, Sunday Silence surges to the front. Flushing John trying to fight back. Easy Goer with one final acceleration, and Sunday Silence holds on, and he wins by a desperate neck. Easy Goer was too late, not enough to win it, and it was Sunday Silence in a racing epic.
A break up three to Jed Forrest, followed by Tenner's Way. Concern is still last. 3 furlongs to go. Cigar! Cigar makes his move, and he sweeps to the lead with a dramatic rush with 3 furlongs to go. And Jerry Bailey turns him loose, and he guides him down to the rail as the field turns for home. Unaccounted for down inside. A 1/4 mile between Cigar and a perfect season. Coming down to the last furlong with a 2.5 length lead.
Derby by like 5 lengths, and then he won the Preakness by like 2 lengths, and then he lost the Belmont Stakes by a nose every single time to Easy Goer. Sunday Silence, Easy Goer were kind of like the Aladar and Affirmed couple of the 70s. These guys were in the 80s, and then just to hear that Easy Goer just still was just barely second place to Sunday Silence, oh my gosh, just brings back memories. That was when I wanted a chestnut thoroughbred for the rest of my life because of Easy Goer. And I got one when I was like 15, you know. I was like, I wanted a chestnut with a star, like Easy Goer. That's what I wanted. And then to hear Cigar, it just warms your heart because you can go visit him right now at the Kentucky Horse Park. And then I cried a little bit when I heard about Ferdinand. God. Oh.
Yeah, I had forgotten until I started putting this together today, the Ferdinand Ali Sheba. I mean, that whole thing, too, was sort of like the Sunday Silence thing. And, you know, that race was an incredible race, came down to the photo finish there. And, you know, Ali Sheba, how much did we talk about Ali Sheba in that day? You know, it was just huge.
And what's so sad is that, you know, the whole tragic story that happened with Ferdinand, if you don't, I'm not going to get into it because I'll cry, but if you want to Google that, that's some interesting reading, stupid Japanese businessman. And then to hear Zenyatta again, and then to hear back in the history where AP Indy, who just was pensioned, retired from stud, who became one of the most prolific sires that our generation has ever seen. So really, really awesome. What a good montage. Good job, Glenn.
You know, I got to see Ali Sheba. Speaking of Ali Sheba, I sort of have a place in my heart for Ali Sheba too, because Ali Sheba was given to the Kentucky Horse Park to be in the Hall of Champions, and I actually got to go to the press conference where the day Ali Sheba arrived. And then, of course, Ali Sheba died shortly after that in 2009, of complications due to a spinal condition and ataxia and things, and I had to be put down at the Haggard Medical Center. But, so I sort of had a soft spot in my heart for Ali Sheba because I got to meet Ali Sheba the day he arrived at the Kentucky Horse Park.
That's really cool. And that's what's cool about racehorses is it just seems like no matter where you are, if you're a horse person, you're tied to one of them. There's something that touches your heart about one of them. Obviously, I have a big fondness for Zenyatta, me and like a billion other people. But to hear, you know, I just remember how much I loved Easy Goer, and just to hear that. And then Cigar was when I lived in Lexington, was when Cigar was really going crazy. I mean, he won the Dubai World Cup, the first American horse ever to do it. It was just so awesome. I'm interested to see, like, and maybe we can, Jennifer asked this on Facebook, is what is the one racehorse that when you hear that name, you know, really, really touches your heart? I'm sure you'll figure out a better way to word it. But the one racehorse who really affected your life, is there a favorite that they have? Is there a horse that, you know, they love, their favorite racehorse of all time? Be interesting to see what everybody says.
Yeah, and it we get people that every time we ask questions like that, we get the racing haters. Don't bother posting them. I delete your posts anyway. You know, if you don't want to listen today, don't listen. But there are some of us who happen to like racing. So.
Well, you know what? And also, these horses that are running make fantastic second career racehorses. So, I mean, not that they're going to give me Game On Dude after.
Or Zenyatta anytime soon.
I'm still working on that one. I'm still working on that one.
All right, why don't you talk about Easy Signs Online?
I will, and yes, it's that time of year again. Time to start planning for that perfect gift for the special someone. This year, give a gift that lasts for many, many years, and, you know, every time they see it, they'll think of you. It's a beautiful custom-made sign. Be it a barn sign, a farm sign, you can visit easysignsonline.com/holiday. Today to take care and take advantage of a 15% discount coupon for the Horse Radio Network listeners and, of course, your friends. EZ, it's a letter E, then the letter Z, signsonline.com has a unique website design that allows you to choose all your sign options. And unlike any other sign website, which, because I visited a lot of them when I was getting a farm sign, they actually give you pricing the entire way. You don't have to talk to a salesperson. From horse farm signs, carved signs, stall nameplates, vinyl banners, business and church signs, whatever you need, they have what you need for your holiday gift giving this season. And you can combine the 15% off coupon with their current free shipping promotion. And so visit easysignsonline.com/holiday. Hurry, it won't last long. Again, check it out. It's going to take a while to get those Christmas gifts. Husbands, wives, get your husband something that they do want. You know, like, say Chad drove into the house, and where he usually parks, I had a sign that said, stall cleaner parking only. He'd love it. Or I'd get smacked. One of the...
That's not what I was expecting.
Yeah, no, I know. That wouldn't be what he was expecting either, but it's true. Well, let me get it installed.
Well, thank you, Jamie. Well, while we're waiting for the MIG and Frankie Lovato to get on the line here, I thought we'd just go over what we're looking at time-wise. The Breeders' Cup races start on Friday at 4:06. Starts the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint. And then on Friday, you'll see the Breeders' Cup Marathon, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, the Grey Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, that's a bunch of drunk fillies there, and the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic. It will end at 7:30 that night. This is the first time that they're actually going into prime time here on the East Coast. They usually do it a little bit earlier in the day, but I think they wanted to catch that prime time audience, and I think NBC is carrying the big races. And then I know HRTV is carrying things, and I'm sure there's others as well. So you check your local listings for that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what another one is. It is if you just go to your app store, and I'm going to give you guys a little hot tip. It's not a hot betting tip. It's just a hot tip. If you go to your app store on your iPhone, I'm sure it's on any phone, they actually have a Breeders' Cup app. It is totally free to download, and I was, last year, my husband actually made me leave the house for a little while during the 2 days of the Breeders' Cup, and we actually were watching Breeders' Cup races in the grocery store on my iPhone, so you can actually watch the races live.
He made you leave the house, but you in fact did not stop watching.
No, God no, that's why I have the app. But, yeah, they show the races. It's pretty cool. So that is what I'll be using Galway Downs to follow all the races.
And they have
that's what I love. They're in California, so I get to see them all.
They also have it for the Android phone because I downloaded it this morning for my phone, too.
Oh, really?
Yep, just look up Breeders' Cup app, and it's right there. Well, then Saturday is the second day of races. They start at 2:50 and go all the way to 8:30 in the evening Eastern time, and that's the Breeders' Cup Classic. Will be at 8:30 in the evening, and I know that's on NBC at that point. So are you going to be able to watch any of these races competing like you are, other than catching them later?
You know what? Because this is a, you know, they have at Galway Downs, they don't even do beginner novice. They're just doing novice training, prelim, and then they go the 1-star, which is prelim, 2-star, intermediate, and 3-star, advanced. Horses have been flying in from the East Coast. Philip Dutton is competing at Galway Downs this weekend. And these East Coasters never come to the West Coast. And Buck Davison's going to be there. And what's really crazy is I'm leaving today, but I'm not riding till Friday. On Friday, I do my dressage at like 8:30 in the morning. And 2 hours later, I do my show jumping. And then I don't ride again until Sunday. So
really?
It's like, could you guys have spaced it out a little bit more? I mean, geez, like, I go, but I'm there 5 days, and I ride 2 hours apart. It seems a little crazy. But, like, for us training riders, they just had to shove us all together because they're doing a 1/2-star for training, 1-star, a 2-star, and a 3-star. So this is a huge event. There's jog ups, and my friend Stephanie, who she and I are actually driving together. We decided to share gas because it's ridiculous in California. We're driving together, and she's doing the 1-star. So she had to be there tonight because they have a meeting because she has jog up in the morning. It's just crazy.
Well, good luck this weekend, Jamie. We'll be
I will
to hear all about
that.
It. You're
what
gonna
I'm
be
saying
fun.
Is I'll have plenty of time.
No cross-country debacles. You're going to be perfect this weekend.
I just, you know, I used to have aspirations, Glenn, of winning. Now I just want to finish.
Well, let's go to, we're trying to get the MIG on here. Jennifer's trying to roust him out of bed, I think, because he is on West Coast time. But we have Frankie Lovato with us. Good morning, Frankie.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good to have you on, Frankie. And, of course, Frankie is of Jockey World Radio and also the Equisizer and a regular guest here on Horses in the Morning. And, Frankie, you're from Ohio, so I assume you're calling, you still have power.
We still have power, thank goodness. It was a little shaky there. Actually, there was areas around us that had lost power, and we usually do lose power, but in this case, we survived the storm, and it's much better than many people.
Well, I'm glad of that, and we wish everybody there well. And of course, you are doing your own radio show now for the Breeders' Cup. How exciting is that, that you get to talk about all this stuff on your own radio show?
Yeah, we did a bit, though we didn't, like, specifically talk about the horses, trainers, or jockeys. But my last two shows, this past episode, as a matter of fact, and we'll repost it on Facebook, we had Jack Vanberg, a Hall of Fame trainer and the second all-time leading trainer of all time in racing history, who trained Ali Sheba that won the Breeders' Cup Classic quite a few years back. And you were speaking about Ali Sheba, I heard. But we had Jack Vanberg, and then we had Pat Day, Hall of Fame jockey, who is one of the all-time leading jockeys, well, at purse earnings, Breeders' Cup wins, you name it.
Can I just point something out, that Pat Day actually rode Easy Goer? Thank you very much.
Yes, he did. And we talked about him riding Easy Goer. One of my memories of Pat, it was in the showers telling me the day that he was a fraction off breaking the world record at a mile with Easy Goer, and he won that day in hand. Pat said all he had to do is like move his fingers and he would have shattered the world record that day. So cool stuff like that. That's what our radio show kind of talks about. So we didn't get into the nitty gritty about who's running this weekend.
So
we didn't get to that.
Frankie, was Pat Day on again? Because I listened to the show where he was on before. Did he come on again, or is this the same episode?
No, we have reoccurring guests, but it's been some time, so it might have been the same episode you heard, but it was just...
Really good, by the way, really good.
Thank you.
Just to hear him kind of cut up with you was really, really cool. It was just really, it was a good episode. So you guys check that out. You can just Jockey World Radio, right?
Yeah, jockeyworldradio.com brings it to our page on the Jockey World website. And there they can scroll through episodes. There's a player embedded inside that page. And also it's like brief promos of each show and who has been on it. They're all archived. And it's a weekly radio show. And it's thank you.
Well, and I want to congratulate you too, Frankie, because I just heard you got your 503 nonprofit status too for organization.
Yes, and since the last time I spoke to you guys, it was something that we had applied for, and we have been approved, and we are officially a 501c3 nonprofit organization that's educational. So it was designed initially for underage racing fans because there's nothing out there for kids to learn about horse racing that isn't wagering or appropriate, you know, as far as the wagering end of it goes. But this it's for learning, but it's for all ages. You know, we have many members and followers that follow what we do that range from ages 10 to 75. You know, so anybody.
I love that you do make it kid friendly, because then Glenn can understand it.
That's
if
right.
If you and I can just sit down and you can help me with the wagering part of it, because I am really not doing well in the wagering department. So if you have a little inside skinny on that, that'd be great.
That's just it, Jamie. I know nothing about wagering. I know nothing. I was never into that aspect of it. I think it's cool. I just was always on the horseman side of it. So when people start talking about the pick three and the whatever the exotic bets are, I totally have no idea what they're talking about.
Frankie. Well, see, here's what I do, Frankie, is you just walk up to the window. This is all you have to know about wagering. You walk up to the window, and you hand them your money, and they give you a ticket, and then it's over.
It's over. Say goodbye.
Then you rip up the ticket.
Exactly. Dramatic.
Frankie, are jockeys the most sworn-at people in the world?
Well, could you rephrase that? Like, what do you mean?
I swear jockeys have to be – people swear at jockeys more than any other.
Oh, sworn
people.
At.
Yes. Sworn at, yes.
Yes, and it really depends where you're riding. Like New York, for example, you know, you pretty much have to put a shield around you. You have to let it bounce off, because the fans in New York, although they're the greatest fans, they are brutal when you don't win. And they stand in line, and that walk from the unset where you unsaddle – back to the jockey's room, if they have any chance to take I won't say a literal swing at you, but, I mean, they'll cut into you really bad.
How long does that take to get used to when you're first starting out?
You know, it's one of those things I don't know if you ever get used to, especially because if you seem like they're if you're able to take it, the more they'll dish it. So it just gets deeper and deeper. Yeah. I mean, they'll say some really rough things. I mean, it gets bad.
All right. Yeah, it looks like we haven't been able to get the Mig on the phone yet, so Jennifer's going to keep trying there. But, Jamie, do you want to start talking a little bit about this weekend, some of the races?
Yeah. You know, we last year we did this as well with Frankie, and I'm pretty sure that Frankie wiped the floor with Glenn and I as far as making picks goes. So we've come back for revenge this year, Frankie. Revenge friendly revenge, just because we felt like big fat losers last time. And you know what? It may happen again this year, but at least we'll have fun doing it. So
yes.
I have, and I think Glenn sent you these, the races that we were going to try to pick the winners from.
Yes.
Did he send you that?
Yes,
okay.
I have that. Thank you.
So let's go ahead and start. I'm just picking four races.
Okay.
And we'll all pick the top three horses. Okay. So let's start with the Breeders' Cup Mile. And for the listeners' benefit, I'm just going to run through every horse that's in each race. And then we'll let, you know, Glenn can pick first. I'll pick second, and then Frankie can pick the real one.
Hey, Jamie, hold on 1 second. I think that Jennifer actually got a hold of the Mig. So let's put our picks on hold here for a second, and we'll bring Richard the Miglieri on to talk from HRTV to give us a little heads up about this weekend. Good morning, Mig.
Good morning. How are you guys? I'm sorry I was a little late. I was in the barn area and forgot my phone in the car.
Okay. Well, forgive you for that. So tell us about the barn area. What's going on out there at the Breeders' Cup?
Well, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz. I've been here since the middle of last week, and every day it's been building up to this crescendo. And not all the horses are on the ground yet here because of, unfortunately, Hurricane Sandy, but all of them should be safely bedded down by this afternoon, and all of the Euros are here, and it's a lot of excitement. It's fun to see how the horses are traveling and how they look on the track.
And are there? How long have you been there? Have you been there all week?
Since last Wednesday. So, I've been here exactly a week already. So, got to see Amazombie Breeze live. Bill Spar, I know he goes very early, and I was at his barn 5 o'clock in the morning. He actually asked me if I wanted to work him, and I would have loved to, but I got to watch him.
So, do you do that anymore? Do you work anybody's horses, or was that just kind of a joke?
Well, he wasn't joking. I can't do it anymore. I would love to, but he was not joking. He offered me, and I was very tempted. It was very dark. I was thinking maybe I could get away with it, but I passed. I only work them in my dreams now.
Man, that would be tough to turn down for sure. So when you're obviously HRTV is based at Santa Anita, and so. What is the buzz with HRTV? Like, who are the horses everybody's talking about?
Well, I can tell you who everybody's talking about, and those are the obvious ones. I can give you a couple that aren't so obvious that maybe haven't, you know, flying a little under the radar but really caught my eye. Game On Dude is training amazing, and he's a very deserving favorite in the Classic. I mean, he's got home court advantage. He loves Santa Anita, and he's doing extremely well. There's a filly out here that's going to run 6.5 down the hillside turf course called Renee's Got Zip. And her work the other day was sensational. I just think she loves the grass. She hasn't run on it yet, but her work on it was phenomenal. And she may be a big price, and I really think she'll handle the course coming downhill because she's a light frame horse. She's built more like a deer, and you need a horse that's handy on that course, and she's certainly going to be handy.
Yeah, so now, which race is that? When you say downhill, what do you mean?
Well, they have a 6.5 furlong sprint race on the turf here, and they start up on the top of the hill directly across from the grandstand. It's backed up all the way to Colorado Boulevard behind the the racetrack, and you're actually up, you start up so high, you're eye level with the top of the grandstand, and when you break, the first 100 yards is pretty significant drop downhill. Then you make a right-hand turn, the only right-hand turn in North American racing. Then you start back left, and you come downhill all the way until you cross the dirt track and then back onto the turf course proper, and then you finish the last nearly quarter of a mile straight away. But it's a great race, an unusual race, and always very exciting.
Wow, I had no idea that they and so are horses and trainers able to prepare for something like this? Because I know they don't really let you work on the turf all the time because they tear it up. So is this something that they just kind of, all right, girls, go get them?
Well, you know, what you do is, especially during the warm-up, you make sure you go past the dirt course. You make two or three passes so your horse sees it, because you're on the grass, and because of the beautiful weather here in California, it's bright green, and then you're getting to the tobacco brown of the dirt, and a lot of horses, you know, see it, and they'll react, they'll jump, or they'll duck left or right, but you make sure your horse gets a good look at it two or three times during the warm-up, and then so far we've run two of these Breeders' Cup races here at Santa Anita, the turf sprint down the hill, and they were both won by horses that had experience down the hill. Because I think what happens, especially with a heavier framed horse, when they get to running downhill, they lose their balance a little bit, and they're going so fast that they start to check themselves, and they actually use more energy checking themselves, trying to keep their balance. But just to give you an example, they go like a very fast half a mile here would be 44 and change. The first downhill turf sprint here, they ran the half in 41 and 2. So you're going at a pretty high rate of speed. It's a very fast, exciting race.
That sounds incredible. I'm definitely going to have to pay attention to that one. I don't know if I've ever really realized that that's exactly the path that they do have to take. Now, a little bit about some of the bigger races. Like, let's start with the Ladies Classic. What are you seeing in that one?
That's the race of the whole weekend, as far as I'm concerned. You have two 2-year-old filly champions that are undefeated meeting in here the first time. You got Royal Delta, last year's winner. You have Questing, who was just in raging form over the summer at Saratoga. This is going to be a race I think we're going to talk about for many years to come. Miss Aurelia is doing phenomenal. She's been here for close to a month. She's trained over this track. She looks amazing. Her breeze was great. Questing got in the other day. I'm not sure she hasn't tailed off a little bit from her summer form. She's a little bit on the light side, maybe. Royal Delta just got in the other day, and she has an abrasion from the ride over. She backed up into something on the plane, and they treated it. I don't think it's going to be a factor, but you sure hate to have anything to worry about at this late stage before the big races. And then Awesome Feather looks sensational. So that's your Fabulous Four there. And there's any one of the four will win, and I won't be surprised, but I expect a great show.
Now, what do you think the difference is? Because there are a lot of horses who have been stuck over on the East Coast, and I know one of them is Mucho Macho Man. And it seems to me like a lot of people are putting a lot of concern in this. Is it so different? Is it a much bigger advantage to have been there for a month? Or is it better to have stayed at the home track and just travel in and go?
Well, I don't think you have to be here a month to have the advantage. But I do think the closer you ship in on top of the race, it just gives you less opportunity to adjust if things go wrong. And, just people, horses dehydrate a bit on the flights. You know, it's a long flight. Me, I always liked the long flights when I had a travel ride because I would get off the plane lighter and didn't have to worry about my weight as much. So, but you also see a lot of these horses, they have, first day back to the track, they're a little bit tucked up, you know, and then you see them the second or third day, they've kind of bounced back and they don't look as light. And just getting in this much later, it just gives them a little less recovery time. And it might not be a factor, but, gosh, these races are so tough. You just don't want to leave anything to chance.
So, yeah, I mean, to me, it would seem like settling in and getting working on the track would be a little bit better. So I kind of agree with you there. You know, it's just unfortunate kind of the way that the timing and everything. That stupid hurricane screwed up everything, I'm telling you.
Oh, just looking at the images, you know, especially, you know, from where I live in New York and looking at the Times Square, it looked like a movie set. It was just empty, you know, one of those movies where the whole world's, like, been obliterated. It was actually scary to look at.
It really was. Well, let's see. Let's move on. Before we let you go, let's get to the classic. Let us know, what are you seeing there?
Well, at Game On Dude, like I said, I think the path to the winner's circle is definitely through Game On Dude. You know, he definitely has home court advantage. He looks sensational working here. He's undefeated at Santa Anita. So, obviously he's going to be very tough. Mucho Macho Man is getting in late. He's a horse that I've been a fan of all year, but he's still en route. And they're saying he's going to get here this afternoon. So, you know, I'm not crazy about that, but I'm not going to jump off him completely just because I have been a fan all year. Let's see, who else? I guess really Game On Dude is the horse, so I can't go too much past him.
All right, well, you guys heard it from the guy's mouth here, the MIG, letting you know which ones to pick. Glenn, how do those line up with what you have chosen?
Not so well. thanks, MIG. Appreciate it. So I can adjust my bets now. Now, I want to ask you one quick question about the classic. Game On Dude pulled the number 5 hole. Is that something that they'll be happy with?
Yeah, I think it's a very good post for him. He's not buried inside. He's not caught out wide. And, you know, they have the split load in California, meaning that it's a 12-horse field, so the order they'll go into the gate is they'll load the 1 and the 7 at the same time. So he's second to last in the split. They'll go 1-7, 2-8, 3-9, and so on. So, you know, as a jockey, I always liked spending as little time in the gate as possible. Just, you know, maybe cut down on anything going wrong. So I think he's drawn extremely well. I mean, he has some speed towards his outside. I think To Honor and Serve will show some speed. And, you know, Mucho Macho Man will be laying fairly close. But he's got Fort Larned right to his inside, who is probably the main speed, and he'll probably be laying second to him. So he gets a very good scenario set up, I mean, on paper. So I think he's going to be extremely tough.
Well, very good. Thank you, MIG. We appreciate you taking time out this morning to join us. Good luck with all of your coverage over there at HRTV. You guys are doing a pile of it, I know.
Oh, yeah. It's been fun and, you know, get to see a bunch of people I haven't seen. And I didn't get to say hi to Frankie, so Frankie, hi.
Hi, Richie. I'm just staying in the corner back here. Great.
Well,
great commentary, Richie. It's always great to hear what you have to say and think about all these angles.
Well, you know, this is the greatest thing about these races, Frankie, is that, you know, we've got 15 Breeders' Cup races, and it's like this giant puzzle, and it's fun trying to fit the puzzle pieces together. And if nothing else, we're going to have a great show.
Absolutely.
Well, that's HRTV. You can check them out on their website or on your local cable network if they're there. If they're not there, then just go join. Just go get a membership at HRTV. I think if you use the code, maybe Jennifer can remember, is the code HRN? Is it just HRN?
HRN12.
HRN12. Use the code HRN12, and you get a free month when you sign up just for our listeners here of Horses in the Morning. Thank you, MIG, and good luck.
Thank you, guys. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Take care,
Richie. Bye.
Well, Frankie, if you don't mind holding on here for a minute, we're going to take a little break for a commercial and also for our song of the day, and then we're going to be back and we'll do our picks. Well, if you don't mind holding on.
I'll be here.
Okay, great. Well, our song today is sponsored by ProMat. So we're going to hear from them, and then we'll be back with the Frankie and everybody making their picks.
Hey folks, Coach Jen here from the Horse Tip Daily Show. All of us as horsemen mull over our horses' nutrition and stress out over their stress level and fret about their fitness. But when is the last time you puzzled over your horse's lounging and sleeping comfort? Research has shown us over and over that quantity as well as quality of rest and sleep are crucial for top athletic performance as well as overall well-being. Enter Stable Comfort by ProMat. Stable Comfort mimics the characteristics of natural pasture, providing a safe, clean, and comfortable surface for your horse. Its wall-to-wall waterproof design gives your horse confidence to walk, lie down, and get back up without fear of slipping. And as a bonus, less bedding is required and results in fewer labor hours to clean stalls. Head on over to StableComfort.com and find out why champions like Nick Skelton, Mary King, and Chris Cox use Stable Comfort by ProMat systems for their equine athletes.
Get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes. Need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is. A good running start to get me. The weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock, a fresh pair of wings and a long stretch. Strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left and straight on till morning. Saddle these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong
Well, that was a horse that could fly. Of course, Templeton Thompson. I thought that would be appropriate for today's coverage of the Breeders' Cup here on the Horses in the Morning Show on the Horse Radio Network. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is here. And plus, we have our special guest, Frankie Lovato. And we are going to have another guest here a little later. We're going to do our picks first, but Patty and Dean Reeves are going to join us from California. And, of course, they are the owners, our adopted owners of Mucho Macho Man. So we'll find out about his travel plans today from them as well.
Now,
well,
the Meg mentioned it, and I just wanted to clear up if anybody was confused about what he was talking about with Royal Delta getting hurt. I guess at some point when she was on the airplane and they were backing her into the stall to put her in the plane, she bumped up against the side of the thing and cut her hip. And it actually, they're saying it was superficial and it should not pose any problems. However, they did have to give her some sutures and stitch it up and give her a tetanus shot. They said that a veterinarian closed the wound, gave Royal Delta a tetanus shot, that she's fine, the site looks really good, it's not going to be a problem, blah, blah, blah. But to me, like, if you had to stitch something up on the point of a hip, and I'm assuming that's where it is, that to me, if you're running full speed ahead, would kind of interfere. Do you guys have an opinion? Maybe Frankie?
Well, there's got to be anything, like Richie had said, that anything to chance or anything, I mean, it could be the slightest thing could mean feet or inches or, you know, which takes, is the difference between winning and losing. So, maybe it's in running and maybe it's uncomfortable. Maybe in the gait she brushes against it or something could be cause some sort of irritation, you know, that might slow her down. So there is concern, I think, even though it's superficial and it may not curb her appetite or it may not cause her to train any differently. But when you're at a dead run in the heat of the moment, adrenaline's going to obviously, you know, adrenaline kicks in, which could, you know, there may not be any concern, but there's got to be some. You never know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, how would you like to be that groom? How'd you like to be the groom on there with, you know, with the horse that's going to just hands down the favorite to win the classic, and you have to come off that plane saying, oh, the horse got hurt. Ugh.
That's scary.
Or you're the idiot who, and they're saying what happened was she probably backed in, there was a pin that wasn't in place properly, and it was sticking inward. You are in big trouble if you get caught. No doubt.
All right, let's do our picks.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
We're
going to go back to starting with the mile. Just to go over the names here, we've got X Celebration, Wise Dan, Moonlight Cloud, Animal Kingdom is back, obviously, Trailblazer, Geronimo, Little Mike, Wilcoxon, Doubles Partner, Mr. Commons, Suggestive Boy, and Turbo Compressor. Let's start with Glenn.
Okay, some of those horses, you might want to use the list down below, Jamie, because some of those horses from your original list are not running. they have cut down on the number. There's only 8 in that race now. So are we the mile? I have to say, you know how I do it. Everybody knows how I pick horses. It's by the name. So if I'm going by name, I have to go Accelebration because I just think that's a great name, Accelebration. It just sounds like they're already partying. You know, they're partying the night before, they're partying the night after. It's a celebration. So Accelebration's my pick there. And actually, I was kind of glad to hear him mentioned early this morning. Suggestive Boy, I thought was a great name, Suggestive Boy, because I've probably been one of those in my past. I'm sure Frankie has too. So that's where I'm going with that. And then I had to pick Animal Kingdom coming in third because you know, I just got mad at the guest that liked Animal Kingdom. So that's why I have Animal Kingdom coming. Nothing to do with the horse. Everything to do with my personal thing. So that's how I picked that one.
Okay. Well, you know what's really sad to me?
Yes.
Is the fact that you and I picked the same winner for a completely different reason. And
really?
The reason that I chose Accelebration is because Frankel is finally out of his way. He has finished second to Frankel 3 times and has finished third to him once. So I think he's due. I think Celebration is going to get in there and nail it because Frankel's butt is not in front of him anymore. second place, I'm going to give to Wise Dan. I just have always liked that horse. And third, God, it makes me sick that you picked Animal Kingdom too. I like Animal Kingdom. This is embarrassing. I'm changing all these.
Frankie,
what do you think?
Okay, I'll try to make it interesting. But, you know, again, it's hard to avoid some of the ones that you just seem, that just seems to be the obvious as far as before the race starts. But Celebration, I think I'm gonna let the Europeans have this one because I think that other events that will be dominating. But as far as this, I'll give Celebration the win, and I'll give Wise Dan second because I just think he's tough. And I'm going to throw in a long shot for third with Wilcox and with jockey James Graham, who is a supporter of ours, and Mike Stidham, trainer. But I think their connections are going to get a piece of this. And as far as Animal Kingdom, I think you know, he's coming off a layoff, and he might be training amazingly, but it would take really, really some kind of horse to go into this race where these other horses are in their prime. So I'll pick him fourth, even though we're not going back to fourth. I'm rooting for him.
Wow. You know what's amazing is we both, Glenn, before we even knew what Frankie's pick was, we picked the same. And I picked the same first two. So that's good for me. I'm going to bet that one. next one would be the Dirt Mile. So the Dirt Mile on the go of your list was Rail Trip and the One Post, Delegation, Jersey Town, John Scott, Fed Biz, Shackleford, MC, Tapazar, and Second City.
All right, so I've picked, now keep in mind, I want to remind everybody who picked the winner of the Kentucky Derby this year on this show, just saying. So using my system, the Dirt Mile, I'm going with Shackleford. I have no particular reason for that other than I like Shackleford. So I'm going with second place, Jersey Town, and that's in honor of all the people in New Jersey who are having trouble in their little towns right now, thanks to Sandy. So that's why I picked that one. And MC, because I've been an MC in the past. So I have Shackleford, Jersey Town, and MC.
Wow. Again, I'm reeling in the fact that I picked the same one as you. This makes me ill. Because Shackleford is, and the reason I pick Shackleford is because I just love him. He's such a fighter. He's such a tank. He's a beast. And I think he's due to win one. He's kind of always in second or third. So if I was to bet, I would bet him across the board to win place or show. And I would throw him in there with Tapazar because that's who I think is going to be up there, him and Tapazar. And I'm going to go with Second City coming in third. Frankie?
You know, maybe we should just pick our Budweiser long shots because, you know, we're picking the same horses because they seem like the obvious and our favorites. But I keep coming up with, I've got my outside, my, are they a sponsor? Is Budweiser a sponsor? we can call it, yeah, they should be, right? Well, maybe that just made it happen. No, I'm kidding. But it's Shackleford, you know, he's a, everybody wants him to do well, and he does look like to be the man in this race, and of course MC. But my long shot for third, so I'm going Shackleford, MC, and then my Frankie long shot is Delegation to come in third. So,
and is that, are you doing that on a name basis because that's what your wife does to you, Delegate?
We keep mentioning because of Sandy, the hurricane, but I always thought Sandy, my wife, was a tornado. So that would be suitable as well.
And I know she's listening, so hi, Sandy.
Yeah.
And how terrible it is it for forevermore there will not be a girl named Sandy from now on. You know, hurricanes do that to names.
No, you're wrong. I think lots of kids are going to be named Katrina now because they were conceived when people were stuck inside. There's a lot of loving going on in New York right now, okay?
That's a good point.
Yeah, see? There's going to be a lot of Sandys. All right, Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic. Again, like the Mig said, this is the race to look at. And we've got in the one hole Grace Hall, in the two posts, My Miss Aurelia, class included, Questing from Great Britain, Awesome Feather, Royal Delta, Include Me Out, and Love and Pride. All right, where are you going, Glenn? Good Lord.
All right, here we go. This one, I'm going a little out of the ballpark on this one, I think. I did Royal Delta because I had to, you know, in the first hole. Second, I have Questing because I used to, you know, do Renaissance fairs, and, you know, the Questing is from Great Britain, and it has that name that sounds sort of medieval. So I went with Questing. And then I picked Awesome Feather because what a cool name for a racehorse, Awesome Feather. So that's why I picked that one. Royal Delta, Questing, Awesome Feather.
All right, well, I
you're
don't
not
care
see
if she
that
has...
all the way in anybody else's trifecta picks. You won't see that on another ticket.
Not for those reasons, that's for sure. Let's see, I'm going to go with the first. Obviously, I don't care if she's got a cut on her hip. She's class all the way. I'm going to go with Royal Delta to take it. We all, you know, I mean, how can you not? She's going to be even odds at this point. I think that maybe the cut on the hip will steer some people away, but not me. I think she's going to run no matter what. She may be covered in blood by the time she gets done. She'll go for it. My second pick would be My Miss Aurelia. She's been just a fighter for the past year, and I see things for her. And then my third pick would be, because I had Awesome Feather, and I don't want to pick anything the same with Glenn, even though I love Chad Brown, the trainer. I'm going to switch and go with Grace Hall.
You're going to regret that.
All right, Frankie.
Okay. I'm going to go a different route here. And I love Royal Delta, but I'm not going to pick her to win here, and it has nothing to do with her cut on her hip or anything. But I'm going to go with Awesome Feather. I think she's going to be amazing. And then I'm going to go for Miss Aurelia for second and Royal Delta third.
Okay.
There we moved around a little bit. That might decide, you know, this race might be the deciding factor. Who knows what they're talking about, which none of us do. But who's the luckiest?
Oh. Yes. Well, moving on to the Breeders' Cup Classic, I'm going to go with, we're going to start out with, in the first hole is Pool Play. Interesting, because Pool Play is 7 years old and is looking amazing. I mean, let me save my comments. Number two in the two posts is Flat Out. Alpha is three. Fort Larned is four. In the five spot, Game On Dude. Brilliant Speed is six. Handsome Mike is seven. Nonios is in the eighth hole. Richard Kidd. Then Ron the Greek. Mucho Macho Man. And To Honor and Serve. Wow. What a huge field this is. As far, Frankie, there's so many classic winners in this field. I don't know how anybody's supposed to pick. But Glenn, we'll let you go for it.
All right, of course I have to do it. Mucho Macho Man's going to win the day because we love the owners, and I actually talked to Patty a little bit yesterday before I made my pick. I cheated. I Facebooked Patty, and I said, are you happy with the number 11 spot? Because they're on the very outside of this track. And
I love the outside.
Yeah, she said they're thrilled with it. She said they couldn't be any happier. They didn't want 12, and they were very happy with 11. So I'm picking Mucho Macho Man because he's just our racehorse here at the Horses in the Morning Show. Then Game On Dude because Chantel used to sit on him, and any horse that Chantel used to sit on is a good horse for me. And then also...
She got fired from riding him, Glenn. You do realize that, right?
She used to sit on him. She started his career. She made him great, and then they dumped her. They were rude. And then To Honor and Serve, I have as number three. So I got Mucho Macho Man, Game On Dude, To Honor and Serve.
All
in
right.
honor of our secretary, by the way.
Well, I'm going to mix it up a little bit from you, Glenn. How about that? All right. I'm going to go with, you know, just looking at Game On Dude's recent work, he is on fire. So I'm going to take him as number one. He's going to win Game On Dude. There's so many great names in this race. And, you know, there's nobody I love more than Mucho Macho Man. I mean, despite Mike Smith being his jockey for this time, sorry, Frankie, I'm going to go with him in second because where else does Mike Smith finish in Breeders' Cup races but second?
Don't.
Sorry about that. Don't tell him I said that.
Frankie knows, so, Mike. He's in trouble.
I know. They're friends, but I can't lie. I can't live a lie. If Frankie listened to the beginning of the show, he'd hear some more. And then because I got a pull for the old guy, and old guy being 7 years old, I'm going to go with pool play. He, you know, and this is the worst, is because he's so pretty. Oh, my God. He's black, and he's beautiful, and I love him. And his name is Pool Play, and I think he's going to round up the three. Frankie?
Cool. Well, only because, I mean, I was leaning toward Mucho Macho Man, but I don't want to, I'm trying to differentiate here so that we, one of us looks smarter than
hey,
the other.
Stay fixed, man. Don't veer off. Go for it.
Well, I was between Mucho Macho Man and Flat Out to nail Game On Dude. The final strides there, but I'll just go with Flat Out, and then Mucho Macho Man, and then Game On Dude finishing third, just faltering at the very end, and these other two just getting the job done right last moment.
Okay,
so,
now
I'll go Flat Out.
Flat Out is your pick, and then who's second again?
Mucho Macho Man.
Mucho Macho Man. See, you agree with me, Mike Smith, second place in every Breeders' Cup race.
Oh God.
And your third, again, was that Game On Dude?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the thing is, you're going to have to email all these to Jennifer because she has not been paying attention to anything we've said and hasn't written any of these down. So all of us, we have to email Jennifer our picks right after the show's over.
And, Jamie, what we'd like the audience to do, what we'd like the listeners to do, is post on our Facebook page their picks for these four. We'll post the links to the races and everything, and we'll post on the Facebook what races we're looking for picks for. And what's going to happen is when we come back next week and take a look at who did the best, the listener who had the closest picks or the most picks in these four races will get a gift pack from the Horse Radio Network. And I'll tell you, we just got some new stuff in that we haven't even talked about yet. We got Horse Radio Network mugs and shirts and stuff. So we're going to give a gift pack away. You haven't even gotten
stuff.
No, you haven't even gotten
stuff. You're
going to get some. So we'll. But the gift pack is available for the one who picks the most winners in these four races, and we'll post that on Facebook here a little later in the day. So that's all coming up. Frankie, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it when you come on. It is always so much fun.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. And sounds, Jamie, it sounds like you have a very busy weekend. Unfortunately, falling on Breeders' Cup weekend, but it sounds like you have your own Breeders' Cup happening, and I think that we should be watching you on NBC this weekend.
You're but, so sweet. I'm not letting you win these picks, though, okay?
Of course not.
No, thank you, Frankie. That's awful sweet. Yeah, it's definitely my Breeders' Cup, so what's fun is it'll be Breeders' Cup everywhere in California. So.
There you go.
It'll be great, and thank you so very much. And thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again. Probably check in with you next week. If you lose, I'll let you come on the show next week, and I'll brag.
That sounds fair. I understand.
Jockey World Radio, you'll be on Sunday, and I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about the races over the weekend.
Yes, sir. We'll wrap it up on
Sunday.
All right,
Sunday. Very good.
All right,
very
guys,
good.
Have a great day,
thanks,
great Frankie. Weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Frankie. Bye.
We're going to get to Patty and Dean here very shortly, owners of Mucho Macho Man. But first, I have to tell you that Dr. Rose's remedies were developed by veterinarian Dr. Rose DeLiva, and it's a skin treatment salve and spray that are all natural products, which are anti-inflammatory, antiviral, antifungal, antiseptic, and anti-scarring. Actually, Royal Delta could have probably used some of Dr. Rose's. They work to promote the healing of skin rashes, relieve inflammation and irritation, and promote the healing of wounds, and they moisturize the skin. Dr. Rose's remedies can also be used in a wide variety of animals, including dogs, cats, and horses. It's been very effective at treating anything from rain rot to scratches to abrasions. You know, I know we keep it around here all the time for Beaker and for Glory. Yeah.
Send some of that to Royal Delta so they can put it on the cut on her hip.
I know, and it heals very fast. That's the thing about this stuff is it really does work. We've used it on Beaker when he's had scrapes, and we've used it on Glory when she's had scrapes, and it's perfect for those small cuts because it is all natural, and it just heals it, and it works, and you don't get the scar tissue like you do with so many other products. This just avoids the scar tissue. Another thing is dog hot spots. So if you're in a tax, he has a special offer for our listeners too. If you're a tax shop, you're a vet clinic, or a pet store, please write to Dr. Roses through their website, and they will send you out some free samples for your customers. And to learn all about the products and to read some reviews of people who have used it, go to drrosesremedies.com and tell them that Glenn and Jamie sent you, and I'm sure that you'll be thrilled with these. We've been using this product for years. We're going to have to send some to Dean and Patty also for Mucho Macho Man for when he gets cuts and scrapes.
Oh, I'm sorry. He doesn't get cuts and scrapes. He's a superhero. We'd like to welcome to the show Patty and Dean Reeves. Good morning. Good morning. I've got to ask you straight out. Are you guys freaking out right now?
Well, much. Yes.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly.
I mean, your horse is not even there yet. That stupid hurricane going on over on the East Coast has slowed the process down for you guys. When is Mucho Macho Man expected in?
Well,
our reports are that the plane did leave Newburgh, New York this morning early. So we are hoping, if nothing, no problems, he arrives here later this afternoon.
Because I think they have to, what you said, land in Kentucky and pick up a couple other ones that are going to be pretty stinking late to the Breeders' Cup, too. Is that correct?
Yes. They did leave Newburgh, and their next stop was in Kentucky. So I've not gotten an update since then.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. So do you have, are you, Dean, are you drinking yourself to sleep every night?
No, I just don't sleep. So.
Doesn't matter how much
he's
you drink.
He's been fighting a little cold since we got here, so we're trying to keep him rested up. And, you know, we're having a great time. I mean, everything is wonderful if we only had a horse.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
No,
I'll
tell you.
Crazy.
Yeah, the view out is just gorgeous.
Is there anything more beautiful than Santa Anita? I mean, the backdrop of the mountains. And, you know, I went there about a month ago now, and there was no racing going on. It was just totally empty. I did walk down into the winner's circle and take a photo of myself because I figured I'd never be in the winner's circle at Santa Anita. But you guys actually might have that chance. Have you walked around? Have you toured everything? Have you seen everything that's to see there?
Well, we got here Sunday, so on Monday we went over to the track and walked around. Dean will not even let me look at the winner's circle. He says it's bad luck. I can't take a picture of it. I can't look, you know. So we didn't, but, the track, it's just absolutely gorgeous. When we pulled up and pulled into Santa Anita, we had to stop the car, and I started crying. I mean, it was like when we pulled up to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby, the enormity of it and the beauty of it, and to, you know, to think that we made it this far, you know, whether we win or not, just to get here, it's such an honor and a blessing. But, yeah, so we got here Monday, and there was a draw party for all the horses, and then they had a special one for the Classic where they had a cocktail reception, and it was live on TV and everything. And they gave us such a warm California welcome. The bugler, Jay, that's the racetrack bugler, was all dressed in his red coat and top hat, and he came over to us in the cocktail party and serenaded us with Mucho Macho Man.
Oh, cool.
So that was the highlight of that night. It was really, really neat.
That's fantastic. So you guys, let's just review for those listeners that are new. Mucho Macho Man has taken you guys to the Kentucky Derby, to the Preakness, to the Belmont, and now to the Breeders' Cup Classic. What has this horse, Dean, I know you were the kind of the one who got started in this whole horse racing nonsense. What has this horse meant to you?
You know, that's a great question. He's opened doors for us that we never would have had open, and opportunities, and the people that we've met. And it's all been through Mucho Macho Man. And I was even surprised, being out here in California, we run into people that are huge fans of his, and even though he runs on the East Coast, they follow him from way out here in California. And, you know, it's just been incredible that you think about where he has taken us. You know, we raced the Woodward. We raced the Sunshine Millions, the Gulfstream Park Handicap. I mean, all of them are big events, and it's just been an incredible ride. And we owe it all to Mucho Macho Man and Kathy Ritvo and her staff and Finn Green, our training manager. They've just all done a great job of getting this horse prepared for each and every race and making sure he gets there.
Now, Patty, do you have a, of all of these places that you guys have gone with this horse, do you have a favorite moment or a moment that sticks out in your head as like, oh my gosh, this is awesome, I love this horse?
Oh, well, I love him more and more every day. You know, whether he wins or not, the thing about him is he always gives 110%. That horse always comes to the track ready to run his heart out, and he, no matter what happens, you know, even when we didn't win the Woodward, we know that horse gave us 110%, you know, and we just love him to death. And we know we have a good horse. He continues to grow and mature, you know, and no matter what happens, we love him.
So was it maybe the moment, I'm sorry, Glenn, stepping to Santa Anita and being like, oh my God, we're just like a nice couple from Georgia. And here we are at the freaking Breeders' Cup Classic at Santa Anita Park in California. And you said it brings tears to your eyes. Was that like an aha moment for you guys?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just to be here and realize, I mean, this is it. This is the Super Bowl of horse racing. I mean, this is, you know, this is it to get here. I mean, it's funny because even when we meet people, last night we went to a little charity event where all the jockeys were speaking and they had some trainers talking, and we would meet people. And, you know, we're not well known. I mean, we're not big horse people. We're just, like you said, we're just Patty and Dean from Atlanta, Georgia. But when we meet them and then we tell them that we're the owners of Mucho Macho Man, immediately they're like, oh, Mucho Macho Man.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
You're forever going to be Mucho Macho Man's owners. You know that, don't you? Forever.
Yeah, I'm Mucho Macho Mama.
That's a T-shirt right there.
Now, I picked Mucho Macho Man as my pick for the classic here, and it's because we love you guys so much, and we so appreciate you coming on our show, even after you've got – you told us before you got popular. We had you on way before Mucho Macho Man became popular. And you said you'd
That's
keep
right.
coming back, and you did. I got to thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you for having us. I mean, we're honored just to be here.
Well, now, has Mucho Macho Man gotten any workouts at all up there in New York with the rain and the everything going on?
He had a really good workout Saturday before the weather changed. So we've probably lost a day. Maybe he had to walk in the shed row. I think that was probably Monday. I think he was able to get out some on Tuesday and do a little bit on the training track there at Belmont. So, you know, we're a little bit behind, but I'm hopeful that he can get in here and get in, you know, some good training on Thursday and Friday.
Well, you guys know that without a doubt he is going to, like Patty said, give you 110%. No matter if he's tired, if he's a little dehydrated, he's going to get out there and do everything he can. And I know that you guys, as his loving owners, you know, horses don't stay sound and game like this unless they have a good life and they have good owners and people that take care of them and good people surrounding them. So, you guys, I just want to thank you for having one of the ones that keeps going. And he's taking you guys everywhere. Please, you guys, give him a carrot from us here and give him a big, if you can, without him biting your face, give him a smooch on the nose for me, Patty.
Absolutely. We will.
All right. You guys, go ahead, Dean.
No, we just wanted to thank you all for, you know, having us and all the kind things you've said about Mucho Macho Man. And he's been a real gift from God for us and a blessing to everybody associated with him. And we are just, as Patty said, just honored and blessed to be here at the World Championship and running in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Just what an honor.
Love, love, love to you guys and to the horse and to everybody associated with him. Y'all, good luck. We're all cheering for you.
Woohoo!
Thank you so much. Okay.
All right, y'all. We'll talk to you again soon.
Well, that was so nice of them to join us again. We really appreciate them being on with us. And they really did. I meant that. You know, they told us they'd keep coming on after they got famous and NBC was hogging up all their time. And they did. They stayed with us. That's so nice.
They're classy, classy people. Now, I want to just go over real quick before we go. You know, we posted on Facebook, what is the one racehorse that kind of touched your heart? And we've had some really awesome stories. And I'm going to go read about a lot more of these. We had Well-Armed. Curlin was named, Buster Brown, Secretariat, break my heart, Barbaro. And then we had Thunder Gulch was mentioned. Everybody has a horse. Dinoformer, Seabiscuit, Ruffian, Farlap. Oh, my God, the last two are going to kill me there. And then Not In Our Wildest Dreams, which actually you can follow her on Facebook. That was a rescue, a foal rescue owned by like 100 different people. And so that horse is really has some fans. And then also, I think rounding out the top was Secretariat, Ruffian, and Barbaro. So thanks, you guys, for posting. Keep us posted. And then we're going to post a little post. Let me say that 10 times. We're going to put on Facebook all the picks. If you guess all the picks, whoever gets the most right wins that Horse Radio Network prize pack. And Glenn, you better send me a coffee mug.
Okay. Will do. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll be back here live, Jennifer and I will, from Louisiana at Wright Lead Equestrian Center out there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, on Friday morning, talking about the horses of Louisiana with some special guests. We're looking forward to that. Jamie's going to be competing, and we'll reconvene here next week. Good luck, Jamie. You be safe.
Thank you. Woo! Again, I used to have aspirations of winning. Now I just want to finish. So that's my goal. Everybody have a great week. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Bye, everybody. Enjoy the races.
Go Mucho Macho Man.